We all have good friends, maybe some are more just acquaintances, but still consider them a friend. And some we may call a friend, but they really are not. And I'll explain that a little later. Your true friends, your best friends, are the ones you make memories with. Growing up in a small town, you really do have a lot of friends. You would think in the big city you'd have a lot more, but I think you have a closer bond in a smaller town. In a big town, you could have 50 different friends every year. But in the small town, you know, you're either they're your friends or you're not. They're the same ones all the time. Well, my friends and I, we played sports and rode sleds, rode our bikes, and also got in a lot of trouble together. And we'd play pranks, call each other names. We were always best of friends. One of my favorite memories was sleigh riding down Lewis Lake Hill. It was a long hill. It was fun because we do this mainly before we were of driving age. We'd slide down the hill, and of course the winner was the first one down there. That was the only rule. You could do anything you wanted to be the winner. Wreck the person. I ran over one guy that wrecked. So it didn't matter. You just had to win. That's all that mattered. But as we got old enough to drive, that's when we'd tie a rope to the back of our vehicle and then to the inner tube. Two, three, or four of us would get on there and ride around town. Well, one day we were doing that. This guy had a van, and we tied it around there, and we were riding around town. And we were in there so long that our face was frozen, and we couldn't see no more. Our eyelids were frozen shut. So we had to go to a friend's house who had a register on the floor, and we'd stand over it until we could see again. All the ice would melt off. And one day, or that was the same day, we jumped back on the inner tube, and we're on the edge of town, and we get to the end of the road, the main road, and turn right, we stay back in town, turn left, we go out to the main highway. Well, he turns left, and he gets going about 45 or so, and he loses control. And as he's spinning out of control, we fly off of the inner tube, and here we are on our bellies going up the wrong side of the road, and we're just looking for headlights coming over a hill. Well, luckily, we didn't see any. We get up, turn around, his van's teetering in the ditch and on the road. So we run back there, and we push his van up and push as hard as we can. He gets out, and so we all jump back on the inner tube and take off again. But it was fun. I probably wouldn't do that today, but it was fun then. And the problem in a small town, you have to think up your own entertainment. And so when you get a bunch of young boys together, that's usually not good. And I remember one of my friends said that we were all friends by default because nobody else would consider us friends, so we had to be our own friends. And he was probably right. He was also the one that, what he said about Christmas. He said, if Christmas is supposed to be a time of love and joy and happiness, why do we spend it with our family? He said, I'd rather hang out with you guys. Now when we get together, we just laugh at all the memories we have. And grow up, you move on, you make new friends. Some are true friends and some are just acquaintances. I mean, friends I grew up with, I'm still friends with. I got to see them back in January, and we laughed at some of the stuff we'd done. Grand Canyon University puts this down about friends. Friends look out for each other, they stick up for one another, and they remain true to one another. And I looked it up, and it said friends was mentioned 139 times in the Bible. But sometimes saying friend does not really mean you are a friend. I got to know this guy when I was working in the store. He was a used to be a police officer, and he'd done other things. Well, he told me that he had been talking with a good friend of his, and a couple weeks later, he was talking to his wife, and he says, well, we're just going to have to file bankruptcy on Monday. He says, we're just way too far in debt. And it's either Saturday or Sunday. Gets a phone call, and guy on the other end's talking to him, and he goes, I know that's my friend, but he never mentioned it. And he goes, well, I work for Walmart, and we're interested in your property. And so he told him how much he'd pay him per square foot. And he never told me the total, but he did tell me how many acres he had. So I figured it up. He got over $900,000. And the property he owned was at where the neighborhood market in Centerton is. So that was a lot of money. And he told me they called the bank and said they had to deal with Walmart. And they said, yeah, we'll wait for the money. But it still didn't pay off all of his debt. He was close, but not enough. But he told me he owned a store in Centerton. It's just a small one. And he saw these two people walk in. And I don't know if his police instincts kicked in, but he just didn't think they were quite the right people he wanted in the store. And the guy was making lewd gestures with his girlfriend or wife. And he walks up to him and says, hey, friend, we don't do that in here. If you stop, that's fine. If not, I'll have to ask you to leave. Well, you know, he started off saying friend, hoping to de-escalate the situation. It didn't work, but he was hoping. And the guy started mouthing him, and he pulls a knife. Of course, guy I know, he already had a gun out. Well, the guy decided he'd leave. But on the way out, he says, well, I'm coming back, and I'm bringing my friends with me. He goes, that's okay. You know where I live. Come back anytime. And he never came back. So if we turn to Matthew 26, and we'll start in verse 48. Matthew 26, verse 48. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But then Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? The word for friend here is Strong's G2083. It's hedaeros, is the closest I can come to saying that's what it is. And it means comrade, mate, partner. It was a kindly address, meaning good friend. It has been only used before in two parables by Jesus, one about the person at the wedding not wearing the proper garment, the parable about the worker who complained that everyone received the same pay no matter when they started, and then is also talked about, described the scribes and Pharisees that he said were like children calling their friends in the marketplace. Turn to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18 and verse 24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Abraham is known as a friend of God. Now I'd like to consider, are we a friend of God? How can we know? Don't need to turn there, but in 1 John 2:4, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. To be a friend, you must first know him if you keep his commandments. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. The word for friend used here is Strong's G5384, philos, which means someone you are fond of, a dear friend. This one is the most often used in translating friend in the New Testament. Strong's also has an explanation of the meaning of the word that it would be used to describe one of the bridegroom's friends who on his behalf asked for the hand of the bride and rendered him various services in closing the marriage contract and celebrating nuptials. Think about this description when we read John 3 in the words of John the Baptizer. Verse 27, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing unless he has been given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, the joy is mine, is fulfilled." John was a friend of the bridegroom, sent out before him. He rejoiced in doing this service, and we lose a lot of the meaning because these traditions are not practiced in our society today. Here is a warning to us about who we make friends with. In James 4:4, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." And if we turn to John 15, start verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I hear from my Father I have made known to you." So what can we learn from these verses about being a true friend to God? A true friend to God will keep his commandments. He will believe in what he says. He willingly gives his services in helping obtain the bride for the bridegroom and not seek a following after himself. He will keep himself from being a friend of the world and avoid all the practices that seem good but are actually against God. After considering these things, would God call you and I his friend?